Hello and welcome to Impact the Borough, a podcast from the Greensboro Chamber of Commerce. I'm Brent Christensen, President and CEO of the Greensboro Chamber of Commerce. Each week, a Chamber staff member will sit down with a guest to discuss what we're doing to start and grow businesses, create quality jobs, develop our workforce, and tell the inspiring story of Greensboro to the world. This podcast is brought to you by Treliant Federal Credit Union, a modern, mission-driven financial institution focused on the needs of its members, the businesses it serves, and our community. With five locations in Guilford County, including a dedicated commercial lending office at Friendly Center and a highly rated mobile banking app, Treliant makes it their business to help you grow yours. Visit Treliant.org for more information.
Okay, hello everyone. We're happy to be here with you again. We have a really great show for you today. I'm here today with Kelly Frazier, who is a member of the Board of Advisors for Launch Greensboro, Calvin Williams with Freeman Capital, and Jen Hensel, who is the Assistant Director of Launch Greensboro. Launch Greensboro is a group that focuses on entrepreneurship development in the Triad area under the Chamber of Commerce. And what we do is we accelerate growth for entrepreneurs starting businesses in the Greensboro and Triad area by providing education, mentoring, and access to capital. We're happy to have you tune in today. And I'm going to hand us over to Jen, who's going to introduce the main event.
Awesome. Thanks, Clifford. I have the pleasure to bring to the table and introduce one of our favorite entrepreneurs, someone who has seen a ton of success recently, and we are excited for him to share some of that. I wanted to introduce Calvin Williams of Freeman Capital. He is the founder and CEO. And a little bit about Calvin, he is a second-time entrepreneur. He was his student body president of North Carolina A&T University, and he's a dad. So those are some of the fun personal facts about Calvin that round him out as a human being that I think is always important to kind of lay out. Entrepreneurs are people, right? But Calvin came to our organization in 2016 with an idea and a plan. He joined the 2016 Launch Lab Growth Accelerator Program and really got engaged in our organization. So, Calvin, I would love to hand it over to you for you to tell us a little bit more about Freeman Capital and how you are working to close the wealth gap.
Thank you, Jen. And I appreciate you guys not just having me here today, but for, you know, letting me join in 2016, because I think that as a result of your investment and my time and energy and with advice, it helped me to get to where I am now. So thank you for that. And so what Freeman Capital is doing is that we are on a mission to close the wealth gap through making it easy for folks to get the access and education and tools that they need to build wealth now. And so we do that via our platform, which is a blend of automated recommendations, which are like steps that people can take to figure out what should I do to increase my net worth, and providing them a human certified financial planner to work with you one-on-one. And we can do all of this starting at the price of Netflix. So we make it super easy for folks to get started to grow and build their wealth.
That's super exciting and really interesting, Calvin. So how did you come about like this idea?
So I have always had an interest in finance and technology. I mean, it's really been something that's been passed down in my family. So, you know, the company's named after my great grandparents, George and Evelyn Freeman. They were, you know, in DC. This is, you know, prior to integration. They were able to not just get their own house, but get a second house that they were able to rent out. So like this idea of taking a small step now that I can take and that will help my family in the future. So like that mindset of trying to use finances to live the best quality of life has been passed down. And when I exited my first startup, which I built coming out of North Carolina A&T, I thought I had done everything right. Like, you know, I read all the books. I talked to the people. You know, I was the guy who opened a retirement account at 16 years old and bought my first house at 20. And so when I had this exit and I thought I had a little bit of money, I go talk to a wealth manager and he quickly let me know that there were levels to this thing called wealth and I was still at level zero in his eyes.
How old are you when you had that conversation?
At that point, I was 27, 28 maybe. And he basically said that if you can't deposit $1 million, like it doesn't matter what your net worth is, like I need cash and I have to manage $1 million or else we can't do business. And so at that point, I was really discouraged because I thought I was doing the right things, but there was no one to help me figure out how to go to the next level for my future family and for, you know, all of that jazz. So that's what set me down this path of finding out how can we use technology to provide everyone hyper-personalized recommendations for their needs that are comprehensive. I mean, we're talking about things from budgeting to estate plan to investments in and out of the stock market so that they can do whatever they want to build their wealth. That's what got me here.
Speaking of that, can you tell us a little bit about how you've set your company up to operate in a virtual, like with a virtual team, and how things are going in this, you know, COVID world, and how that has really helped to serve you during this time?
Happily to. So I think that because I come from a technology background, I was running my first company, my very first project in 2004. I was managing resources in Europe and Asia and a client here in the States. So I've always been very comfortable with remote organization and remote work. And when launching Freeman, it was really important for me to find the best talent that I could. Wherever they were in the country. So we've always been fully remote from the very beginning. And we use, you know, productivity tools like Slack and email. And we were living on Zoom for many years prior. And so for us, what COVID did is it just accelerated the prediction of our thesis that remote work and remote financial planning can work, because the industry was still very much rooted in a one-on-one, person-to-person relationship business. Mm-hmm. But that mindset automatically caused certain groups to be overlooked and ignored because they didn't have the relationships. They did not have that. So we had to go with the model that best served our target market and what helps us keep our costs low for them. And so as a result of COVID and everyone now being at home, they're now being more open to their finances. We're all remote anyways, and we're built from it from the ground up. So it just has, you know, accelerated our growth.
That's amazing. I also built my company, you know, fairly from a remote culture from the start, and can't even remember a time when we didn't use Slack. Like I don't even know what we would do without it. And I do think in a year like this, it allowed, you know, like a lot of the learning curve and sort of the growing pains of having to shift, we get to skip because you've worked that out previously. So I think that's great. Will you talk a little bit more about, you know, when you said you were on this path, you thought you had gotten to this place, that you had talked to the right people, read the right books, and then had to really, you know, regroup, rethink, and start moving in a different direction. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that experience was like?
Yeah, so that was a very humbling experience. I mean, because at that point, I mean, I was coming off of being, as she stated, you know, student body president of the largest HBCU in the nation. My company was the preferred vendor for a number of institutions. We had done work with the state and with the, you know, federal government and things. So I was feeling like I was king of the world, you know, and, you know, I'm like 20 something too, so you couldn't tell me anything. And I had a full head of hair then too, so life was good. But when that happened, it really kind of let me know that having education and access are two different things. And when you're talking about what are some of the inequalities of building wealth in this country, regardless of race, but just kind of very social economic, that if you don't have money, it's hard to get more money. Because the way that our system is set up from a financial market perspective is that our capitalist model is driven by revenue and profit. And so most of the financial planning firms have built their business model on the asset-based model, which is that if you have, you know, $1 million, I'll charge you on the high end, like 1% of your assets. And then that means that I am making my money off of how much money you have. So if you have $10, you are an unprofitable customer and I will not serve you. And so what that let me know is that the business model needs to be disrupted so that more people can get help. And so that's why we focus on our model as it's really financial planning as a service. It's a monthly service with no contract, which means that we don't make money just for having your money. We have to add value which puts us on the hook to work to make sure that we are helping our clients grow and build their wealth, that our advice is actionable and that they can take a step each and every month. And so that is really what that did, because, you know, there are a number of reasons why there's so much inequality in the world, which I can get into later if need be. But just from a pure business perspective, the larger institutions are not financially incentivized to serve people who do not have millions of dollars, and thereby they do not serve them. And so our model is to help everyday people build their wealth. So we built a model where if you can pay for Netflix, then you can now pay to have, you know, what is the highest designation of financial planning in the country at your beck and call.
I love that. I think that, you know, even in my own experience, and I think partly because I'm female, that was, you know, there was just no education provided to me whatsoever about financial planning. It wasn't a conversation I ever had, not in school, not at home, not in college. And so I really, you know, that was something I really had to navigate myself. And, you know, I did navigate it in my late 20s. But when I think back on it, had I been raised that way and had that, you know, mentality and access and education and information always been available to me, you know, then I would be even better set up than I was able to do on my own. And I definitely had the experience that you're talking about where, you know, when I did try to find some resources in my late 20s, I certainly wasn't coming in with $1 million. And so just trying to find a starting place was difficult. So I love that you say for the cost of Netflix, because I think it takes like the intimidation factor out and the exclusivity part of it out, where it's like, you know, everybody has Netflix. And in the same way, everybody should be fully able to educate themselves and have access to financial resources. So I think it's, you know, I think it's really great. And I love what you're doing. So can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, I think Jim brought it up a little bit, but like the life of an entrepreneur and sort of those ups and downs, like how were you able to really focus on the long game? How have you been able to, you know, like take those humbling moments and sort of take those times when you're like, I have made it, you know, you get redirected. How have you been able to really focus that on the long game?
So I think that a activity that I love doing is, which can be a bit of a detriment if you go too far, but I love dreaming and living in the future. Like I love envisioning what the future is going to look like so clearly that then I know what I'm working toward. And having that crystal clear vision, and not like, not just like a vision statement, but like the feeling of sitting in, what is it going to be like when I can get to this goal? That is what can motivate, or that is what has motivated me when, you know, payroll is tight or when we lose a big opportunity. It comes down to that. And then, you know, now that we have launched and, you know, we've been serving folk for over a year now. And I was just laughing about this with my operations lead just this morning, is that it is really crazy how just a thought that was literally just an idea has now manifested into a whole thing. And so I think that, you know, when you are at different stages, when you're at that idea stage and you have no traction, as you know, they call it from an investor perspective, having that vision is what will motivate you. And like spending time dreaming about what will this business do? How will it help? How will I operate? That will give you the spiritual energy to really work on from the inside out what you are trying to manifest. And then once you have some traction, once you have your first customer, like they have value from your service, then it's like, wow, like you're doing it for a much larger thing. Like when, you know, people say, I was searching for something like this and, you know, you finally have met my need. Like that is really something that gives you the fuel to keep fighting when, you know, funds are low and debts are high. So I think that's how I've done it.
That's awesome.
I think it's important. I think that finding that reservoir of energy, because starting a business is hard. Business is hard in general, but starting one is so hard. And having that reservoir where you can pull from when, you know, you get your 17th no in a day is so important. It's exciting to see how it works for you. So wealth inequality is a obviously a massive issue in the United States. And there's been some other financial planning type firms that have come out to try to disrupt this. I think what's happening is really awesome. How do you compare when you look at some of the other folks that are like, I think Robinhood is the one that really comes to mind. It was done a lot of marketing on this. when you look at your what you're doing and what they're doing, how do you kind of compare it? Say you guys stack up against something like that, and how are you guys different?
I think that what we have seen in the last 10 or 15 years is the second wave of the internet. So there are three waves that they talk about. And in the second wave, really finance is the part that's been disrupted. What we see with firms like Robinhood is that they have made it very efficient and cheap or free to execute a trade. That's what Robinhood does. They have disrupted the commission-based business. If you know what to buy, how long to hold it, and why you are buying it, Robinhood is a great place to execute that transaction. But if you don't know what to buy, how much of it, and how this fits into your wealth plan, Robinhood doesn't solve that problem. And so the specific problem that we are solving is not how do I buy a stock for a cheaper price, or how do I manage a portfolio at a cheaper price. It is how do I get a plan to build wealth? Because buying a stock is a part of building wealth, but not the whole process of building wealth. And so on our platform, we are giving advice and specific recommendations for everything, of course, investing, but we also help out with your job's retirement plan. Are you taking best advantage of that? Robinhood isn't doing that. Betterment and Wealthfront, none of those firms are focusing on the advice side. Are your insurance needs taken care of? Do you have a will and a estate? Because that is key to build generational wealth. And so when you really compare the platforms, Freeman Capital's problem is how do we help people build generational wealth? Robinhood is saying, how do I help people buy a stock for free? It's a totally different problem.
Yeah, that's great.
I so appreciate that answer and clarification and that conversation around it, because one of the things that always stands out to me about successful entrepreneurs and obviously Calvin's example and journey is that he identified a problem in the world based on personal experience, right? You got you're not worth enough for my time from a financial advisor. But the entrepreneurship mindset in you, the ability to ask the question, what might be and how can I change things, spurred you to start a company, not go home frustrated or give up or go a different direction. It was like, all right, this is a real, real problem. And I'm not the only one that experiences it. And so I'm going to start thinking, how might this situation be changed and disrupted for others? And then over the past 4 years, you have built a company based on some iterations of your original hypothesis and your original solution to that problem, right? And so I would love for you to tell people a little bit about that kind of journey in terms of, we talked about the long game and how you stay focused on the end goal, the success goal, but really, how do you maneuver through the iteration process with yourself and with your team and with kind of the community around you and what they see and experience about Freeman Capital and its changes?
Yeah. And I would just say that I believe that anyone could be an entrepreneur because of this one statement that I'm going to say. We have a saying in my family that if something bothers you, then it's your responsibility to solve it. And so we all have different things that bother us. Like, I'm not bothered by... I'm trying to look around my office for something that doesn't bother me, but like, I'm not bothered by taking my trash can from the street to my house. Like, that doesn't bother me, right? But if that really like bothers you, then that's a problem that you should be solving. And if you solve it for yourself and it impacts other people, then you could have a business on your hand. But the reality, at least in our family and in kind of our mantra is that, you know, don't complain. If this is what is bothering you, then it's your responsibility to then solve that problem. And that ties into what you were talking about, how to have a vision. So like the wealth gap and the fact that in less than 50 years, half of our country, actually more than half of our country, is going to be a person of color. Our country is driven by consumer spending. And if half of our country is not spending at or above our current spending levels, then our country as a whole will be impacted. And I don't want my son, your sons and daughters to be living in a society where we are worse off because we ignored a big problem for any reason. And so my way of trying to solve this problem is rooted in people's finances, because when you have better finances, you have better quality of life, education, and health. And so because that bothers me, and I want my son to live in a better world than I do, the way that I'm trying to make it better is with the fixed vision of helping as many people as we can live their best life. And then as a whole, our country, hopefully our planet, will be better off. And so with that being my North Star, I stay fixated on that part. Now, because I did not have, you know, millions of dollars and I didn't inherit that, nor did I get that when I got started, you know, I had to start with where I was, with what I had, which, you know, meant that, you know, I had to basically self-fund the first versions of my business, which meant that I was working a job 9 to 5, and then I worked on Freeman 5 to 9 or 2, 3. You know, it just sounds, let me say 5 to 9, 9 to 5. It just sounds cute, but in reality, it's like 2, 3 in the morning. And, you know, I downgraded my quality of life. And I basically took every other paycheck and I put that into Freeman for 3 years. So I put in over about 150 grand in totality via that time. And then I had to self-fund from credit cards, all the things that you really should not do. It's extremely risky and very bad for your personal credit. But again, if something bothers you, it's your job to solve it. And so that was my North Star. So we started with, you know, just doing focus groups, just collecting data, understanding if we're in, you know, heading in the right direction, then launching a product, which we thought was going to solve the problem. We got feedback from the market that they like us, our company, our mission, but that the product market fit wasn't that great. And then just continuing to iterate and just not giving up, because at the end of the day, this problem really bothers me. Like, I can't sleep well unless I'm working on this problem. And so for anyone else out there, I would just say that you have to do, you really have to find something that is worth losing sleep and time over. Like, I don't spend as much time as I would like to with my family, with my son, with my friends. And to give up that a sacrifice, it has to be really worth it. So it has to be a problem that is not going to leave you. So that's kind of how I do that.
It's a fantastic answer, because I think it's so real to early stage companies. You know, that your story is individual to you, but is part of a whole that we hear from entrepreneurs often at your stage. And one of the things that I observe about you, again, having known you for a few years and you're kind of in our atmosphere, which is phenomenal, is I would love for you to talk about the wins that you cherish, because I see you getting external wins, right? Like every year, every 6 months, whatever. I watched you on this journey. There was the NC Idea Grant. There was pitching at certain competitions. But I've also heard you talk about the wins of those first couple customers, and that customer feedback of life-changing experience, and the wins of putting the right team together. So, you know, what others see versus what you value as a win, I think is an interesting, like, nuanced conversation.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, and I was talking with another founder that the wins that you get are because other people are recognizing who you are. You haven't changed, but other people now see it, and then thereby you get an external win. So that's, so for me, as we were talking even before this, like getting the awards, I'm thankful and very gracious for them. They don't have to even choose me, but that's not, you know, my motivation at all. And if you were in my house, you would notice that of all the awards that I have gotten, none are up on my walls, none at all, actually. And so the thing that is really, the stuff that really inspires me is the fact that, you know, I have a team of folks who have been working with me for 3 to 4 years. Many did not get paid until recently, but they stayed around for years. Like, that to me is a win. Like, people can do 1,000 things or nothing, and that still could be better than working on this with me. Like, you know, you could be watching TV and that could, and you could choose to do that. But people are choosing to spend their time and their energy on an idea that I had. And to me, that is the biggest win. And so I am immensely grateful for that. So that's like the biggest thing. Because when folks say like, hey, you know, Calvin, you know, there was a time when I couldn't make payroll and I'm feeling like the world is crumbling. And I'm like, and I literally, I'm like curling them in a ball, like, God, this is just too freaking hard. And, you know, I go to them and I say, hey, guys, I'm sorry, you know, we couldn't make payroll. Like, I'm thinking they'd be like, all right, cool. Well, I'll see you when you can make payroll. But no one left, not a single person left, you know? And then a couple of days later, we were able to make payroll. And so I think that that is the number one thing, because there is nothing more valuable than a person's time. And I respect that so. And then the second thing that I would say is a win, which you alluded to, was when you can hear these stories of people who want to do better. And really, this is a narrative that I really have a problem with. The narrative that people of color, or, you know, Black people, that, you know, like, they're not going to work hard, that, you know, they're lazy or whatever. Like, that is completely the opposite, not just because of my own evidence, but, you know, if that was the state, then, you know, coming out of slavery, we would have never progressed. But, you know, when, you know, you hear these people who say things like, I just wanted someone to help me and you all gave me the direction. Like, I want to go faster now. Like, now that you told me what to do, how can I do more? Like, helping people fulfill their own innate passions and desires, that is the biggest win there is. So, yeah, so those are honestly the two things. Oh, and then third, I would just say that it's seeing this idea come to pass. It is really wild when you really think about it for a second. Like, you can sit and dream about something in your head, and then that can manifest in real life. That is a superpower. And so to me, those are my top three. And really, I'm thankful for all of the attention and the prizes, and they all help us to help more people. But those three things are really what it comes down to me.
Hey, Calvin, I wonder, that's really awesome. I think those things that you talk about there, and it really hit home for me about you wanting to help people. It's obvious with everything you're doing. Do you have any specific instances of, you know, one of your clients that you could share with us, not name or personal details, of course, but it'd be cool, I think, to hear some of the impact that you've been able to achieve.
Yeah. So the first one that comes to mind was that we had a customer who was up in New York, and they were, you know, in their early 20s. They were trying to figure out how to kind of get their life together, because they had a job. They were making, you know, good money per New York standards. They had all this student loan debt. They were trying to buy a house. They just did not know what to do. And the problem of the age that we live in now is that there's so much general information that people are trying to apply to specific situations. And that leads to frustration and a lack of result. And so this guy was like, hey, you know, he Googled it, you know, he found the debt snowball method. So he was just going to, hey, I'll pay off all my student loans, then I'll save up for a house, then I'll scale for my retirement. And there's an opportunity cost in not taking care of these things at the same time. And so in working with his planner, he was then able to figure out he could contribute through his retirement money that would lower his tax bill, and then he can take the money from his retirement, use that for his down payment, and then he can take his student loans, which were a very low interest rate anyways. We did all the math for him. So if you can take him from 10 years to 30 years, yeah, you'll pay more in interest, but it will give you more cash flow. And now you have the money that you can put even more into your retirement, dropped your tax bill even lower. And so now I'm super excited, because I think he just closed on his house. And so now he's in a position to where we literally are helping folk build wealth, because his income did not change. But what we changed was how he uses it and the tools that he can pull. So that is like the first one that comes to mind. And that's what I love doing. I mean, we just did a thing here where people did not know about the American Tax Opportunity Credit, which says that if you or your child or is in college, you can get a credit of $2,500. Folks aren't taking. I mean, that is literally money that you can put that into your taxes, lower your deductions, and get more into your paycheck the next week. So it's all those things that just help folks to live better. Oh, and then the last point with this guy in New York, I can't predict that we're gonna do this all of the time, but it just happened this way. This is huge. He had his down payment invested in the stock market. So this was in January. The market hadn't crashed yet. So in working with his planner, it was like, hey, this is cash that you need immediately. When you need cash immediately, you don't put that in the stock market. But he had it there because the market was booming and he was trying to make it work. So it just happened to work out that like 2 months after we told him to move it to a traditional savings account, that's when the market crashed and he would have lost 30 to 40% of his down payment.
What a great story, man. And congratulations again. That's really cool. And how great to be able to impact someone so on such a personal level. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really neat.
Well, we do want to give you an opportunity to talk about any big announcements that you want to share. So there are a lot of exciting things that have happened recently. So do you want to give us the scoop on any of those?
So it's kind of, you know, this is big news for us and we're super excited about that. Two main things is that just last month, we got our first venture capitalist check. So that was a big deal for us. It was from Backstage Capital. They're based out in California. So that was a huge deal. And we're very thankful for them because it's very hard to get our first one. And since less than 1% of VC capital goes to founders of color, I'm happy to maybe bump that up a percentage point if I can. And then second, super excited for the relationship that we have with Google for Startups. They've been a great partner over the years. And this year they had their Black Founders Fund and we are receiving a grant from them. So that's major news because that's coming along with a national campaign as well to help promote the companies that they selected. And we are one of them. So that has been, it's been an exciting last few weeks. And we just hope to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, congratulations. Obviously, we are all really thrilled for you and really proud of you. And really, you know, the way that we all know each other is Launch Greensboro. And so can you tell us just a little bit, you know, how Launch has impacted the journey that you've been on? You know, I know you've been involved in a number of ways. And can you just speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, so it's crazy how it all started from being on Twitter in 2016, and I saw they tweet where they were looking for applications. That's where I found Launch. And, you know, going through that application process, getting into that program, thinking that I was farther along than what I really was, which was very good because it helped me to kind of understand the number of holes and gaps that I had. And then Luann and the team there didn't just leave me hanging. So they helped me to fill those gaps. So my current CFO, I met as a result of Launch Greensboro. And so that has been huge for me because that has helped me to accelerate my learning and my development as a founder and as one who has to raise capital as well. And then another huge thing, which was really great because of the relationship of Launch Greensboro, was even learning about the NC Idea Grants. And so as you all probably know, and those who are out there listening, but NC Idea is a org that helps to support entrepreneurs from across this state. And we applied twice. We did not get in, but Luann was working with me on my application, trying to point out areas of weakness and with the business. And then, you know, we did get in, we did win that. And that was another great point. And so really, I mean, I honestly have to give credit to Launch Greensboro for the beginning, because if I wouldn't have gotten in, if I wouldn't have met Luann or got in into NC Idea, all of those steps helped me to get to where I am now. So I'm a pretty big fan.
We are too. Well, I also, just in talking to you, ever since you first came to speak to the board, have really been, it stayed on my mind a lot. I also have a venture fund and definitely understand sort of many of the challenges, but have been interested to hear from you specifically on a local level. You know, do you have a call to action to the community here? And outside of, you know, I think sometimes people and my own experience with Launch and how to get involved was, you know, if I can't give capital, then how can I contribute? And yeah. So I think sometimes people stop there. And so I'm just really interested to hear from you what call to action you would have to Greensboro and the Greensboro community.
Yeah. So, you know, first, you know, if there are, you know, funding, you know, opportunities that we are launching our seed round now. So we're actively having those conversations. But like you said, that if funding is not something that is possible, what is really key for us is distribution networks, our people and networks that can help us get to more of our users or our target market. And so that is a really big thing. And then the third and final thing would be just other experts and influencers that we can learn from. I mean, there is still so much that we can, you know, do and develop. And so having those relationships with people who think creatively, who like to problem solve, you know, all of that is very, very useful. So in summary, you know, it's still a funding opportunity, which is needed. And then second, it would be around expanding our distribution network to find more of our target market. And then third, it's just people who just love to, you know, solve problems or point out when stuff is not good. I mean, that is how we get better.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely think, you know, introductions that's something that has become, for me, like one of the primary ways that I think people can participate and contribute without having to do much, like just connecting people where it makes sense. But I love that. And I'm glad for people to know all three ways to participate. And then also, Calvin, how can people find you? How can they keep in touch and follow you and support you?
Yeah, so the easiest way is at our website, which is freemancapital.co. We have chat there. We are, of course, on LinkedIn, Instagram, and, you know, Twitter and all of those places. The best way to get to me personally would be through LinkedIn. I am probably going to be the first Calvin Williams Jr. If you type it in, I should come up like first or second. So that's an easy way to get me there too.
Okay, awesome. Calvin, thank you so much for joining us. You really are inspiring. You've got such amazing energy. Since the very first time that I met you, you definitely like make an impact, and I'm excited to see where you're headed and super, super excited about everything that you've done so far.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, Calvin. Congratulations on all your success. And I have no doubt. I think we all agree that there's going to be a lot more big things coming from you. So, keep us in the loop.
And then for Launch Greensboro, you can find us, just a reminder, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Launch Greensboro. On Facebook right now, we're at Greensboro Entrepreneur. And then you can also find us on LinkedIn at Launch Greensboro. And then just a few things we have coming up that we want you to keep in mind and opportunities for you to get involved. Demo Day is coming up December 14th, and you can register for that online. And then Capital Connects, which is one of our biggest events of the year, is coming up in spring 2021. So we'll keep you posted on that and look out on social for more information coming on those. But again, Demo Day, December 14th, register online, and always reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions or want to be involved. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will talk to you next time.
This podcast is brought to you by Treliant Federal Credit Union, a modern, mission-driven financial institution focused on the needs of its members, the businesses it serves, and our community. With 5 locations in Guilford County, including a dedicated commercial lending office at Friendly Center, and a highly rated mobile banking app, Treliant makes it their business to help you grow yours. Visit Treliant.org for more information. You can find all of our episodes on YouTube thanks to our video sponsor, North State. Impact the Borough is recorded at Press Play Studios. Producers are Brody Cohen-Glaze and Holly West. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GSO Chamber. See you next time.